Hi, I'm Richard Kind, and you're listening to the CVH Podcast. We're certainly not going to spank them.
That's what you're saying.
Yes. All right. Oh, hey, good morning, good afternoon, Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Another day. Another day in Paris. This is my weekend. I got the whole weekend to myself. I needed it desperately. Last Monday, as I am wont to do, I got up early to go to the gym. This is what I do, you know. And, you know, got the clothes on, went over, picked up the tennis shoes, put them on. I bent down to tie one, and I felt a lightning bolt through my spine. And maybe that's an exaggeration, but it stopped me in my tracks. All the muscles seized in my lower back, and I wasn't going anywhere. Literally just bent over to tie my shoe, and couldn't move. Couldn't move. Started to get into a real panic, because I had rehearsal like 11, and it's now 7:30 in the morning. And I just, you know, desperate. I'm laying on my back on the bed trying to talk myself out of what just happened. Like, it's just a muscle spasm. You're going to breathe through it. You're going to stretch this out. Everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm like trying to talk myself out of it. But I have like the ice pick in my spine. It makes you super cautious to do anything. And I managed to get on my feet, and I was dying. I could just feel the muscles just turning over in my lower back. And, you know, I deal with this twice a year, at least twice a year. It's always stress-induced. But I honestly couldn't point to the stress. It took me a second. It took me a second right now to realize what's going on. And I decided to put my shoes on, which I could slip on, because I wasn't going to bend over again. There was no chance. And I slipped on my shoes, and then I just went for a walk. And I thought, if you just walk, you'll stretch it out. And that actually did help a bit. But I was in a bad way. I could not find comfort, and clearly pinched a nerve or something trying to tie my shoe, because I have this this, you know, 8x8 inch square on my thigh that's completely numb. Like, clearly I pinched a nerve, and now I'm numb. So the whole week, I'm desperate to try and find comfort while I'm doing my show, and it's proving impossible. I'm just, I'm a disaster. I can't stand, I can't sit still, I can't, you know, I'm supposed to fall, all these sort of things that are happening in the show, and I just can't do it. I can't do it. You see? He's not a machine. He's a man. Slowed me down. Today, I feel much better, but for a second there, I thought, oh, my. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I haven't injured myself, but I did pinch a nerve, and the muscles have seized, and I need to figure out why. You know, I think it's stress-related. Well, number one, I'm not sleeping very good. But that's par for the course for me. I'm never sleeping good. And then I wondered about the show. You know, the Quichotte is it's so intense. It really is so intense. And to listen to the score, you wouldn't think that to be true. Or to know the story, you wouldn't think that to be true. But the production we're doing is very personal. It's very relatable. There's a lot of very in-your-face bullying and rejection going on. And I don't think there's a man on the planet who can't relate to Don Quixote to some extent, you know, and I'm no exception. You know, we have these issues as singers with our big egos and delusions of grandeur and thinking you're more important than you are and wanting to live this heroic life or believing that you yourself are special, you know, all this stuff that he goes through. It's very relatable, if I'm being perfectly honest. And there's a fair amount of bullying that goes on in the show that's fairly traumatic, and I think that kicks up stuff too. I don't like everybody pointing and laughing at me. Even if it's in the show. I don't like it. It's a moment I don't enjoy as it's happening, and I'm relieved when it's over. But you know, I've let the darkness into this performance for sure. I have opened up in a way that I never have before, and in many many ways it's freeing. I feel free. I feel free on stage to create. Like oh my God, a chance to be an artist. I'm going to create something right now. I'm going to make something from nothing. You know, yeah, we're using this story, and we're using this production and we're using this music, but you know, the beats that happen between those things are mine, really, and Etienne's, and we're creating this story together, and I have to tell you, the two of us have just, I don't know what it is. I don't know, maybe it's just men who are 45 years old who just desperate for an emotional outlet, but we have found it here, and we are going through this, and every day it's heavy. It can be very heavy in the room. And we got a ways to go. We got nearly 3 weeks until this thing opens, which is, it's just kind of bumming me out, because it's a lot of days. It's a lot of days to try and keep up this level of emotion. I'm going to have to find a balance here, because every day is draining. It's hard to keep going back to the well of trauma and tears and keep reliving it. Even if I feel like it's doing good for the show, it's hard physically to just go through that, you know, and we'll find ourselves in the middle of a heavy scene, and then, you know, the director just wants to stop for a second, of course. He wants to fix something, you know, fix some spacing or talk about something. But meanwhile, Sancho and I are fully invested into the emotion of the moment, and it's not easy to just flip a switch and turn that off. This has been very, very rewarding, very challenging, very eye-opening as a human. Not just as a performer or singer or artist, it's as a human, too. The ability to, I think I always wear my heart on my sleeve, but you know, maybe not. Maybe I'm more guarded than I think, because I'm certainly not open like this to anyone in my life. Really, I don't think so. I've got the window open. I apologize. There's always some bullshit going on out here, you know. I live between the Bastille and République, and so there's always some protest going on. Anyway, I am learning balance in commitment, because we got a long way to go, and I'm not sure that I can just keep going back to that emotional place where I'm devastated, and I truly am, truly devastated in the show. You know, Quichotte has made Dulcinea into this perfect human that nobody could ever live up to. Truly, nobody could. No, you know, he has such an ideal in his head of what she's supposed to be. Not only does she fall short, she falls way short in that she laughs at him. And it's absolutely soul-crushing. And he handles it with poise in the moment, but he's ruined. He's devastated. And it tips off, you know, his death scene. And, you know, we're doing things without too much break here. You know, we're doing 1, 2, 3, and then a break, and then 4, 5. And so we go from the rejection and devastation directly into the death scene with no stopping point, and there's a through line of emotion that goes from one to the next, it's heavy, it's rewarding, right? You know, I think I've been a good singer for a long time. I don't know that I was this committed a performer, and maybe it's all shit. I don't know. You know, but from my standpoint, what it feels like complete and utter total commitment to this storytelling. And wow, you know, it's eye-opening. It makes me feel like a lot of what I've done up until now has been fairly fraudulent. I don't say that easily. I have done heavy stuff on stage. The Bocca Negra in Philadelphia was very committed, but this is a level beyond that. I've had serious moments on stage. I've cried real tears on stage, but this is a different beast. I feel it inside. I feel it inside more now in this than in anything. And you know, I think all of this is to say is that it takes a minute. You're not supposed to be good at this at 25. You haven't lived yet. You play sad because it says to be sad here. You know, you play happy because it says to be happy. But Until you've gone through some stuff, some death and some heartbreak and some triumphs and some failures and some falling on your face, I'm not sure our artistic potential is opened until you've actually lived. You know, been to the dark places, gone through the rough spot, survived something. I really do think that's what makes I think it makes a better show. You see what we do? We torture ourselves for you. Oh, what a life. I enjoy this every day. The characters in my life are straight out of Central Casting. I mean, it's like the Muppet Show at work. Just absolute mayhem. Everybody's a character. Everybody looks wild. Everybody's amazing. Everybody's wildly talented, and then just has quirks and issues and problems, and, you know, there's all sorts of stuff. And here I am, the Don Quixote, you know. Mr. Fancy Singer likes to have the title character in Paris, right? Like, of course I do. Of course I do. But and I feel like I've rolled in and I'm ready to sing it and ready to act it. And then just like for 5 days, I cut my hand on my lower back like I'm completely broken. Oh, raising alarms among the admin. Everybody wants to know if I need a doctor or an osteopath. I go, oh, I need... I don't know what I need. I need to go through this pain. I think that's what I'm supposed to do right now. I think it's adding to it. I think I'm supposed to go through this pain and see what happens on the other side of it. Right? It's always darkest right before the light. I'm one of those guys. I have to believe that. I want to feel it. I think I have felt enough things. All the litany of things I listed. I think I've experienced a bit of each, and this physical pain is manifesting itself from a previous trauma or something I haven't let go of yet, or something that's building up in me, or something that has been inside of me. It's really, it's probably too much self-analysis. But I live alone, so that's what we do. When you live alone, you get in your own head pretty easily. There's a lot of quiet time, and especially in a foreign country where you're a guest, you know, and on a different time zone. I get up at, you know, 7 o'clock, and nobody in America's up for another, you know, 6 hours. And, you know, that's a good chunk of your day spent in solitude. And that's not to say you can't grow in your solitude. I think you absolutely should and can, and it's vital. But too much of anything is bad. I'm sure of that. This forever search for balance in this career, it will probably never end. Yeah, that's what's going on. I wanted to talk about Sir Andrew Davis real quick. I found out last night that he had passed. I didn't know that he was sick, although the last time I saw him, he looked like he had lost weight, and I had hoped it was for good reasons, but I think it wasn't for good reasons. But I don't know the details. But Sir Andrew Davis, a fantastic conductor, a man who guided me through my young artist years in Chicago. He was the musical director, principal conductor, and you know, just a warm, welcoming face. He demanded a lot of you. He was not easy on us, but he was a huge supporter of the group that went through his opera house, and he demanded a lot. It wasn't. You know, Andrew didn't mess around, but he gave you, you know, he walked the walk for sure. I was lucky enough to be in, I think I counted 5 or 6 different productions, maybe more. And ironically, he walked me through the Don Quixote score. About 8, 9 years ago, I covered Ferruccio Furlanetto singing it in Chicago, and I just got lucky, and Ferruccio took a day off on stage. That was a piano run through, and so I was able to sing the whole thing, almost 10 years ago now, on stage, with everybody, with the cast and chorus and Andrew in the pit, and you know, hard not to feel nostalgic for that time as I'm doing this myself now. Andrew was a good man. He showed me. He took me all over the world. Took me to Melbourne. Invited me to London many times. Got my debut at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra with him. Andrew looked out for us. He looked for me a lot. Had me join a group of singers to sing at his wife's memorial. He'll be missed. Andrew, you know, 50-plus year career in this business as a maestro, and not to be scoffed at, in 21 years at Lyric alone. Yeah, good man. Rest in peace, Sir Andrew Davis. Hi, everybody. I love you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. Okay, thanks. Bye.